This is Bill McMinn from Inkable Bible Church, and this is the Way to Go podcast, where we talk about faith, family, and daily life, putting the Bible into practical, everyday terms.
Welcome to the Way to Go podcast. Bill McMinn, Mark Hostetler, talking about vigilance today in 1 Peter 5:8, but be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world.
Wow.
So I look at that and say, hey, be sober-minded, be watchful, pay attention. There's an enemy. He's looking to beat you, right?
It is so humbling to know, and it's actually, it's you got to be thoughtful about what you're doing, when you're doing it, how you're doing it, all of that, because Satan is looking for an in to influence your life, okay? And when we don't live wisely, we give him opportunity. That's what it says. He's looking for an opportunity to devour, right?
Right.
And so you have to be very careful, very vigilant. So when we say vigilant, we're talking about being watchful, being alert, watching out, like looking for things that are against God and not being part of that. You're choosing your lifestyle. You're choosing to be like, hey, I don't want to be a part of this. I don't even want to give the appearance of evil in my life, And so I'm just going to reject this, and I'm going to choose something different, because right. We can.
Well, this is a case where it's kind of like you're being stalked by this wild animal, Satan, by way of description, and he's looking for someone to devour. He's just looking for someone to get out there. And typically, if you're looking what they want to do, they want to split the herd up and they want to get someone isolated, and then they're going to devour that, as far as a predator. So they want you, when you're with everyone else, you're tougher. And I think that evil would love us to be isolated. That would be one thing that we could say from here is just don't isolate, as far as being vigilant, keep your relations up and
Keep in
community. I think small groups are important. Being in church is important. I think being around godly people who will be a positive influence in your life, I think all those things are super important. And then be the godly influence on them as well.
Yesterday, when I first came in, I get the Voice of the Martyrs magazine. And I told you, I read it out of there for you too. And this lady was imprisoned for her faith in, I can't remember the country now, but she, for 16 years, she was in prison for her faith. Wow. Some of the worst atrocities happened to her in that prison. And when she got out, she said it was harder to resist the enemy. Although it was hard at times for her to keep the faith and to stay faithful and to remain that way. All she had to do is sign her document. Her dad brought it to prison. Like, sign this document saying you renounce your faith. That's all she had to do.
Right.
She wouldn't do it.
Right.
She said that was hard sometimes, but not nearly as hard as when she got out and the enemy, she couldn't see the enemy as clearly as when she was in prison.
Right.
I mean, to me, that's incredibly insightful for this woman who's in faith, declaring these things. And she's saying when she got out, because she had all this good around her now, she was being tempted by the good around her. She couldn't see the enemy as clearly.
Right.
She says, and she ended that with, I read it to you, she ended that with, we must remain vigilant.
Right.
And I just thought, man, this word keeps coming up over and over again. You mentioned it last year, sometime last year. It was early last year, I think. Right. You mentioned it. You said, man, I think the word we need to focus on is vigilance.
Right.
And I thought, man, that was a great word at that time. And I appreciated it very much. And then, you go a certain length of time and you don't hear it anymore. And then all of a sudden it starts coming up again.
Right.
Vigilance, vigilance. And I see it again and I'm like, Bill, how about doing this podcast on this? Because I think it's so important for us in these days to be careful what we're doing. In Ephesians 5, it says, do not participate in unfruitful deeds of darkness. Rather, expose them to the light.
Right.
We need to be vigilant about those darknesses, in our lives. Like, what are we being tempted, drawn into that we have no business being in,
Yeah, I think that there's a couple different strategies. I mean, one, isolation, It's just you can get into the wrong thing. The devil's looking to devour you. Like, he's a roaring lion. Mm-hmm. So we need to be careful that we're not putting ourselves in bad situations. I think sometimes the evil is not an all at once thing. It's just a little bit at a time. So if they can just kind of sneak in, you leave the door open a little bit, whether it's your anger, whether it's your upset, whether it's your doubt, whatever it is, and kind of evil can get in there. And by the way, like, a Christian cannot be possessed by the devil or a demon or, but do I think we can be influenced by evil?
Yes.
Kind of whispers in the ear, pot stirred up in our, I bet they thought this and they said this, and we're kind of like imagining conversations and all that. Sure. But you can, all he needs to do is get you off a little bit here, and eventually down the road, you're gonna be way off. So just a little bit at a time. I think part of it, you know, what would Satan do in our world today? I think getting us off the Bible. You don't really need the Bible. You just need to be led by the Spirit. You know, we don't even really need to go by this anymore. Oh, that Old Testament, that we don't need to worry about that. Really? Old Testament? We don't. There's a lot of great stuff. There's Ten Commandments in the Old Testament. Oh, there's Proverbs in the Old Testament, Psalms and Ecclesiastes. There's history. There are stories about David and Bathsheba that are super instructive.
Oh.
There's things in there about handling the, working with the hungry people, the people who are without shelter, the strangers, the widows, the fatherless. There's all kinds of things. You know, why was coined as social justice. There are verses in there about being faithful to your spouse. There's verses in there about coming to the Lord, and God is seeking, like, he wants us seeking him. He's looking around the world. And then we're going to have people say, oh, the Old Testament, I don't need to worry about that. I just need the Spirit. Well, the Spirit gave you the Old Testament.
That's right.
Right?
That's exactly right. Yeah. No, and there you're talking about entertaining thoughts or doubts. Sorry, not thoughts, but doubts. So he speaks doubts into your mind.
Right.
That's the first thing he did to Eve.
Right.
Are you sure God said that? You know, it's like, wait a minute. You know, so we have to, I agree with what you're saying. Cast out those doubts. Take captive every thought. Make it obey Jesus, you know, because Satan, look, he's trying every opportunity, being angry, going to bed on anger. Think about that. What does it say in the scripture? You allow Satan to actually have a foothold into your life.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great verse, right?
I mean, you think about that. Satan has a foothold into my life?
Through anger.
Yeah, I agree with you. He can't possess you. I agree with that because Holy Spirit's in you. You can't have those that. But they can influence. They can, you know, it's probably not going to be the devil, if we're honest. It's probably going to be a demon.
Right.
And they're going to influence. They're going to have influence in your life. And I don't feel like we need to be walking around being terrified that we have a demon on our back.
No.
I don't believe that at all.
Not at all.
We have he who is greater in us than is the one in the world. You know, so I don't feel like we have to be, but here's what we have to be. We have to be watchful. We have to be alert. We have to be sober-minded. What does that mean? Sober-minded. You have to think things are the way they are. You know what I'm saying? You have to actually think through and think lower of yourself than you really are. Pride's a horrible thing in your life. If you have to be watchful that you're not being prideful, right? So be sober-minded. Be thinking through it. So another part of scripture says have a sound mind, right? And that's part of being vigilant.
Yes. And I think, too, you got to realize this. Some of you out there who are listening, you're better at some things than others. And some of us are better at something you're not as good at. Mm-hmm. For instance, I've talked to people. Some of us have whatever word you want to say. It's discernment. It's intuition. It's just experience. You just see certain patterns. You know where it's going. It's just that simple. I mean, seen it over and over again, you know exactly where it's headed. It's kind of like somebody's playing sports or a great defender. He just knows which way the play is going. He just has a nose for the ball.
Yeah.
He knows where it's going. Some people don't. And that's why God puts us in the body of Christ. If you're somebody without discernment and you have a hard time distinguishing something that's a little darker from something that's brighter, I would lean on the people who are discerning because that's why we're together. Absolutely. I don't think everyone has to have every gift or everyone has to have a certain IQ of figuring all these things out or understanding when you're about to get duped. But when someone's telling you you're getting duped and they're good at knowing it, I would be listening to these people. But it would be like, you know, if somebody's really sharp on cars and they're telling you that's not the car you want. This is not a good price. This is not a good deal. Here's why. I would tend to listen to that. I mean, for me personally, so the same would be true spiritually. Now, the devil masquerades as an angel of light, and I've always been fascinated by that light. Deceiving people with light.
Yep.
Because all you need to do is get you to be attacking the body of Christ, get you to be making a mess of what God's work is and what he's trying to do. And he's winning. And he could do it by making you feel so self-righteous that you just know more than everyone else. And pretty soon you're condemning good things that God is doing. Jesus Christ said, that's a problem. That's what the Pharisees did to him. He said, they said, oh, you're driving out demons by the devil. And he's like, well, how's that even possible? He said, it's not even possible.
Right.
He said, I'm certainly not. He said, but you know what? Every sin will be forgiven except this blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And when you're saying that what God is doing is by the work of the devil, or there's some evil there when there's not, Satan's got you right where he wants you. And you're going to be all these verses you're gathering around and all these sayings you're gathering around to kind of support you and buttress you. If you're doing evil, you're doing evil. I don't care how many verses you have. Yep. If you're creating disunity, if you are working out of bitterness, if you have hatred and hostility, these are not from God. Lies are not from God. They are not. Nope. And so we've got to be smart enough to realize that, hey, a lie, the devil's the father of lies.
That's right.
Not God. So I don't, that's those kind of fork-tongued people are not the kind of people I want to be listening to. I want nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
If you're forked tongue like that, you can't see it. There's nothing I can do for you. I'm not going to go that way. I'm just not going
to
do it.
Yep. There's a scripture that comes to my mind as you talk. It says, awake, O sleeper, awake, you know, because what you think is light, you're actually operating in darkness and you don't even know. And that's the power of the enemy actually. I love one, it was Jimmy Evans that actually taught this, that he said, especially for couples, if you go to bed angry and you haven't resolved it, you're just stewing, you're not wanting to forgive, you're not doing all that, you're just stewing. He says, what's happening is when you go to bed on anger, the enemy is counseling you, you don't even know it, speaking lies into your head. And you wake up the next morning, you're bitter toward that person, you're resentful, you're upset, you're walking around all the next day, angry, upset, you're not choosing good, you're not choosing forgiveness, you're not choosing to, address the conflict and say, hey, let's talk about this, let's get this through. You're just stewing up this thing, and the enemy's got you right where he wants you.
Right, because it's easier a lot of times to avoid it.
Yeah.
But here's one thing that he says, and I agree with that point too, be careful in your anger. But one of the problems that they were having and where he felt the devil was having the opportunity was in suffering. But he said, stand firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And really, First Peter is a lot about suffering. It talks about Jesus Christ suffering, talks about us suffering, talks about, hey, if you're going to suffer, suffer for doing good, not for doing evil.
Yeah, they were getting persecuted for their faith.
Right. Kind of that story you brought up before. So part of my defense against the devil is stand firm in the faith. Yeah. If you look at the shield of faith by which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one, people are going to throw a lot of arrows at you. You just got to stand strong in the faith. Know God's going to defend you. Know you're going to be okay.
Yep.
And you don't have to listen to it or be part of it or get caught up in the words of others. I think really wise advice, do not get caught up in the words of other people.
Yeah.
Just do not get caught
up. I love what you're saying, because what you're saying is encouraging faith. And where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing.
Right.
Right. And so what you said earlier, staying grounded and rooted in the word of God is going to help you be vigilant. What does it say about the word? It is a light unto my feet, a lamp unto my path. That's what God's word lightens everything for you, so you can see what's around you. The works of darkness will be exposed at the power of God's word.
Right.
Deuteronomy 4, it says, pay very close attention lest you forget the things you've seen and disregard them for the rest of your life. Instead, teach them to your children, your grandchildren. Teach them. That's part of being vigilant.
I agree. And part of it, being vigilant and staying in the word, because it's the truth. When the devil, when he was tempting Jesus Christ, let's say, brought scripture to Christ. We're going to say, well, how does the devil use scripture? Well, hey, you can turn this bread, into or stones into bread.
Yeah.
Come, you can jump off the temple because, like it says in the Bible, the angels won't even allow you to stub your toe. And then he was doing something else. And Jesus said, don't put the Lord your God to the test. he was using things, Satan was using things, partial truths, kind of truth to kind of actually deceive Jesus Christ into going the wrong direction. Jesus Christ, knowing the Word of God, being an author of the Word of God, actually, too. I mean, it kept him off that path. And for us, being able to know what the truth is and what is right, what is wrong, and just staying on that. If you just stay to, this is right and this is wrong, it's tough to get you off. Yeah. Of course.
What's he say? You shall not live by bread alone. You shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I mean, that's what he's he's bringing him back to the Word. Like, you ain't going to twist this Bible on me. You know, and that's what Satan was trying to do, is just twist the things, distort them in your view so you can't see them properly, you know?
It's always been amazing. I remember when Steve Arslick was alive, you know, he and I would, you know, have this conversation. Again, very few people in my life that I've really seen in this kind of boat, but it's just the sheer bitterness all the time, and they're constantly quoting scripture. And even to this day, I see it, just a constant quoting of scripture, a constant bringing up of spiritual things, and yet so much bitterness. And it's like, well, how does that, the Holy Spirit brings love, joy, peace.
Amen.
Yeah. Love, joy, peace. Love, joy, peace. And when you're seeing a person and there's no love, there's no joy, there's no peace, you wonder about that, because it's like, okay, well, you can give me Bible verses all day long and talk about the Bible, and you know scripture. Where is that showing up? Like, where is it showing up that you're actually allowing the truth to really penetrate you and shape your life? I've gone to people directly with scripture. Well, I'm not going to listen to that, because you know what? I need to do this. And they're just getting deceived. Mm-hmm. It winds up, it goes nowhere good, Mark.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nowhere
good. No, I mean, I read a woman, a passage of scripture one day. They were having marital problems, trying to help, you know, 1 Peter 3, you know, wonderful passage of scripture for marriage. And man, right as soon as I got done reading that, she pointed at me right in my face. I mean, inches from my face. She looks at me, she says, I'll never do that.
Right.
And they got divorced.
Right.
And why? Because you're refusing to see the Word of God for what if it's giving you a directive, you better do it.
Right.
You know? And here's a directive right out of Ephesians again. Therefore, look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but wise. Redeem the time, because these days are evil.
Right.
That's what it says. Ephesians 5. On account of this, do not be foolish. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Right? There's a great passage right there, you know. Live in wisdom. Be wise about where your feet are. You know, I don't want to end up in somewhere where, you know, you can be reproached. I mean, you're not above reproach.
One thing is that we are very susceptible to is justification. And it goes right along with denial at times. We have such a great ability to justify the nonsense that we do. And so we can come in and start saying, well, yeah, you know, I know I'm married, but there's this other woman, and there's nothing wrong with love. We're supposed to love. Mm. You look at all that's justified in our world today in the name of love. Yep. God is love. Love is love is love. And we it almost, it's like anything goes. There's no rules because God's love. Or we'll say, well, you know, don't be judgmental, or you'll throw something about legalism, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, that means there's no rules. Does that mean there's no, like, there's nothing that anyone can do to ever, there's still order. There's still, God is a God of order. There's still things that we should be doing. There's things that are right. There's things that are wrong. It's always going to be true. And us trying to convince ourselves otherwise just means we're going to walk off a cliff eventually, and we're going to hurt ourselves is what we're going to do. And it's not going to be helpful, because evil is not your friend.
No.
And so that's why you got to be careful of the devil, because he's not your friend, and evil's not your friend, and there's going to be a price to pay for it. Yep. And it's typically far higher than what the pleasure you got out of it was worth, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I mean, you said you were going to hurt ourselves, and I agree 100%. I'm thinking about the other people around you, too.
Right.
You know, sin separates. I mean, this period. Right. I mean, and so you're going to hurt the relationships you're a part of. You're going to hurt your opportunity for growth. I mean, it's going to stifle growth.
Right.
Sin, yeah, it might be pleasurable for a season, but it's going to destroy.
Yeah. I mean, so pay attention. Yeah. Bring stuff back. What I recommend doing is this. Just pay attention to the Bible, what you're hearing, keep comparing it back to the scripture and keep bringing yourself back to the scripture. Is this what God wants me to do? Is this right? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can test and prove what God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect will. Keep coming back to the word of God.
Would you say one thing that I haven't discussed in this, but I would just strongly encourage you, the word of God's important. Don't neglect that, but prayer too. How many times through prayer has God opened your eyes to something that was like, oh my goodness, I didn't even see that. But just simply spending time praying to the Lord, who sees all, by the way, he sees all, you know, and so asking him, help me reveal these things to me, God, you know, expose works of darkness and bring them to the light. I've prayed that over and over to the Lord, you know, because I know if I'm going to see, the only way I'm going to see it or be vigilant is through the help of the Holy Spirit, through the help of God. Right. So prayer is instrumental if you're going to live a wise and vigilant
life. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Pray and God will guide. Hopefully something we've said today triggers some good positive thought in your mind. It's helpful, redemptive. It's going to keep you on the right path. Mm-hmm. So we're praying that. If you feel free to like the show, comment on the show, share the show. We appreciate you tuning in. Have an awesome week.